Welcome to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best bets for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend as we, man, we're marching right along through 2021. And what we're going to do today is we're going to get an update. Of course, we had the Texas Winter Festival here a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Everybody is aware of the coastal fish kill that took place. We'll be talking about that. As our guest is Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director, Robin Rikers. Robin will be giving us an update as to the impact. We planned this immediately, but realized that they really weren't prepared and didn't know the depth and impact.
And they've been real busy.
And yep. Quite honestly, there's still more information being gathered, and they will learn more in the weeks and months ahead. But we're going to get into it. We're going to let Robin explain what they do know at this point. There's also some proposals for hunting regulation changes. That quite a few proposals. We're going to be talking about that in the next segment to let you all know, and the opportunity for you to comment.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, like that. And of course,
that's be on Facebook, right?
Huh?
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
Make your comment on Facebook.
Opportunity
to comment.
On Facebook.
Okay, Bill needs coffee. I'm messing with you. I'm sorry. No, comment to real people is what we're going to talk about, right? Yeah.
They can comment to Texas Parks and Wildlife.
There you go.
That's what I mean. Okay. While we regroup here, we're going to let you all listen to these messages. And do please remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong.
I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit hfotusa.org.
Breakthroughs in treatment methods and care delivery have improved the lives of children worldwide, all because of discoveries made at Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals was the first to identify a genetic defect underlying a painful bone disease in children. Our physicians use a first-of-its-kind 3D imaging system to reduce radiation exposure to young children. To learn more about our latest discoveries and innovative care, please visit ShrinersHospitals.org.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And top of the program mentioned that there are a number of hunting regulations proposed for the upcoming season, 2021-2022. And this is interesting because I remember when the crossbow became a lawful means, but was restricted to when it could be used, and it could not be used during archery season.
Okay.
Now they're proposing adding crossbow to the definition of lawful archery equipment,
okay,
which is a big step. I mean, originally it was approved in the state for those that had a physical handicap.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But now use it as archery equipment.
Any mention though then about now the air guns that shoot arrows?
That was my next comment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The air bows that are out.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see how that, you know, how that ferments, you know, in the old pot.
Okay.
Also, boy, this goes back to some real Texas traditions. There is a prohibition in Angelina Hardin, Nacogdoches, Orange, Shelby, and Tyler counties, prohibition on trailing wounded deer with dogs.
There is existing now, or they're trying to do that?
There is.
Okay.
And now they're wanting to remove that.
Right.
You know, I mean, East Texas has been so heavily subdivided.
Correct.
You know, crossing property lines, et cetera,
right,
things of that nature. Looking at the experimental pronghorn season in the northern panhandle and expand the general pronghorn season from 9 to 16 days statewide.
Huh.
So that'll be both for the northern herd as well as out in the Trans-Pecos.
Okay.
Implementing a mandatory report for spring turkey hunting in the western one gobbler counties in south central Texas. Then two more days to shoot dove.
Okay.
Proposed.
Good. Statewide.
So in the special white-winged dove area within the south zone, dove zone.
Okay.
All right. Modify the muzzleloader definition to clarify only the bullet or projectile must be loaded through the muzzle.
Uh-huh.
So nothing about, you know, a percussion cap or flint, you know.
Well, you've got some, too, where you've got a cartridge that has everything but the bullet that goes in the breech.
Okay.
And then you put the bullet down the barrel.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. This is something you'll be interested in, you old squirrel hunter. Allow statewide squirrel hunting season by opening the remaining closed counties to year-round hunting season.
Oh.
So, you know, the spring and fall East Texas hunt that we talk about, hunt them. And, and quite honestly, you know, when we do our annual hunt forecast, they're talking about how there's not that many squirrel hunters anymore.
Correct. It's a shame, too, because they're so good chicken fried. I got something here that's very interesting.
What's that?
You know, and it's going along to save the planet, man. Monarch butterflies. I didn't realize. I knew they were down a bunch. It's a shocking figure. Populations of monarchs across U.S., Canada, and Mexico have dropped by almost 90% in the last 20 years.
Wow.
You know, habitat, pesticides, blah, blah, blah. But TxDOT, they're enrolling 1.238 million acres of land consisting of 73,038 center lane miles of highways and interstates in the historic nationwide Monarch Butterfly Candidate Conservation Agreement, or CCAA. Okay. Administered by the University of Illinois Chicago in conjunction with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, it's nearly 450,000 acres are being adopted in the agreement, which encourages transportation and energy partners to participate in monarch conservation by providing and maintaining habitat on millions of acres of rights-of-way. Of course, these are, you know, great pollinators, and milkweed is a crucial host plant for these monarchs, so they'll be planting for them, but it also benefits bats, bees, birds, and more.
Good
and that's
idea.
A bunch of, that's a bunch of land, man.
You know, I saw something on the same. I mean, that is great for the, for the pollinators.
Right.
But I've seen some cities around the country where they come in and are planting fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not going to work up in North Texas,
and right?
Wouldn't work in South Texas,
yeah,
when we have our winter festival, you know,
right?
But to have that available, and you know, it's something that could be picked,
yeah,
and consumed.
There you go,
or
absolutely
harvested and taken to food banks,
you know, because we've had this, you know, the situation of loss of bee populations and the loss of monarchs. I didn't realize it was 90%.
Wow,
but so it's a matter of habitat, so that's great,
yeah. And, gee, so many people don't think about the loss of habitat, you know, and the impact that it has. Real quick, if you are a paddler, like to paddle your kayak or canoe, We've got some new trails, and the best place to get the information, this is over on the Brazos, San Marcos, and Llano Rivers that have opened up. But go to the Texas Parks and Wildlife website and check out TPWD River Fishing page, and it'll give you some access points.
Cool. I wanted a shout-out. I gave you that beef stick last week, remember? But these folks, very interesting story, Blue Nest Beef, and their site's bluenestbeef.com. They are processors. They are not ranchers, but they deal with ranches that have Audubon conservation ranching programs. So habitat management and forage and feeding for birds, animal health and welfare as consideration. These are all grass-fed cattle, and that's where they source the stuff. And they've got the hashtag cattle for good. But it's just a very interesting story, and they've got these care packages of assorted, you know, steaks and briskets and chickens and what have you. But just very interesting, really good folks, and I've already had one of the ribeyes. It was very tasty, but just check them out. They're really, really nice people. BlueNestBeef.com.
Very good. We're going to take a break when we come back. We've got our best bets outdoor report. Yep, we're going to find out if Harold's been on or off the road. So y'all, please stick around.
Friends, you can now listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more. On demand and on the go on your mobile phone with no syncing and no memory or storage waste. Downloading Stitcher is quick, easy, and free. Just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the Stitcher tab. In your app store, order Stitcher free, then listen anytime, anywhere on Stitcher.com.
America's best-selling truck 44 years running is Ford. These people work very hard every day to build the best trucks, the trucks you need, the trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate these 44 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them, it's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday, that's how they build them today, and more importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 44 years, Ford's F-Series, built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News, and it's time for our best bets. That's brought to you by Third Coast Thermal. And Third Coast Thermal was launched in 2015. It's owned and operated by a Christian family that's proud of the USA and is committed to providing professional guidance to their clients to help assure their day and nighttime hunting forays are the adventures that make lasting memories. Y'all have heard us talk about these folks for months and months, and got a neat project that I'm working on. Okay. And I got to give Clifford Cheadle, you know, props on this. Mm-hmm. He knew that I'd gotten a 44 mag Henry, the lever action.
Right. Great gun.
Said they really need to drill and tap the top so they could put a Picatinny rail on it, and then we could put thermal.
I thought they were.
They are.
Yeah.
He didn't realize that.
Okay.
I got the Picatinny rail. Then his next comment was, need to have studs long enough to be able to support the weight, you know, and et cetera. They got some healthy studs.
Okay.
Mounted it to my 44, two different models.
Oh.
One was the Knox, and one was AGM Global Vision. Oh, my God, does that look great on the...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know...
Cool.
Easy on, easy off.
Right.
And for the ballistics of a 44 mag, about 100 yard, you know, a little, maybe a little over, but 100 yard is what I'm looking at.
Sure.
Thermal, perfect. I'm having so much fun learning. I mean, I was the Nimrod, you know.
Right.
And that's just some of the great advice.
Well, like we say, this guidance expands your hunting to basically 24 hours, if you want to. I mean,
sure.
Really. Depending on when you go out at night with these optics, they've got are phenomenal.
Well, and then they've got things just for observation purposes, which I really like. So instead of using your thermal and pointing a gun, you know,
You
can observe and spot, and then
point
you
your gun.
Then point your gun at your intended target once it's identified.
Right.
You know, but anyway, Third Coast Thermal, they've been satisfying customers all across the United States. They're going to ship to your location for free. For more information, visit thirdcoastthermal.com. Or give them a call at 832-827-4574. That's 832-827-4574. And when you talk to them, you know, just ask them, Are you guys really as good as Bill and Harold say?
There you go.
Okay.
Also, remember, you know, we lost a lot of animals. We're still counting on the big freeze, but there's still millions of pigs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And hunting pigs at night with thermal, oh, that's so much fun.
It is.
And so good for the ecology, okay?
Yeah.
All right, let's check the Texas Outdoors Journal Hunting and Fishing Times, okay? This weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, as well as Monday, are good days. Tuesday and Wednesday slip to fair. Thursday plunges to poor. Friday's another fair day. Next Saturday's another good one, while next Sunday is our best day of the week. This weekend, look for game to be most active from late morning until mid-afternoon. On Monday and Tuesday, this major feeding period of the day begins in the early afternoon, continues until the evening hours before sunset. By Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, times will have continued to adjust, so look for game to be most active from mid-afternoon until well into the evening hours after sunset. Next weekend, a major time shift occurs, with game becoming active from well before sunrise, remaining active until mid-morning. This weekend, on Saturday, March the 13th, we will have a new moon. By next Sunday, March the 21st, the moon will enter its first quarter phase. This Sunday, March the 14th, Bill's favorite, daylight savings time will again, right? Yeah. Spring forward, so that's the fake time, right?
Yes.
Gosh, I ought to do away with that. Anyway, next Saturday, March the 20th, is the first official day of spring. On the coast, this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday have a double tide schedule of two high and two low tides each day. Monday is a three tide day with two high tides and just one low. Tuesday through Thursday are a trio of days with a double tide schedule each day. Friday through next Sunday, a string of days with a single tide schedule of one low. one high and one low tide each day. I don't know where that came from.
It's one of those shows.
Just wait. Started off and just tapered off.
All right, to the outdoor report. And on the coast, water temperatures are continuing to climb. But you know what's really neat is the fishing community, guides and veteran anglers, they're all going, let's do a catch and release.
Sure.
You know, until we really figure out where we are.
Right.
And, you know, that never hurts. That's something that we've been preaching so that, you know, keep the smaller size fish and leave the larger broodstock. But fishing continues to improve from Lake Calcasieu over there in southwest Louisiana to Sabine, throughout the Trinity Bay complex. Fishing has been pretty good. Black drum run is underway almost across the entire Texas coast. Crab and mullet in deeper water has been the ticket there. Heading to West Galveston Bay, where speckled trout and redfish have been caught in the shallows. Shallow water warms up quicker than deep water does. Out of Freeport, starting to see some runs offshore. Snapper fishing has been good for red snapper. East Matagorda, along the ICW, the Intercoastal Waterway, speckled trout have been very good. Baffin Bay, down in the lower coast, redfish and trout have been the shallowest, and this report says less than a foot where water is the most warm. Talked to Mike Sutton at Getaway Lodge, and, you know, they are continuing to have some interesting catches. They are really a big proponent of the release on speckled trout. Redfish, always redfish. Mm-hmm. I mean, we fought so hard to maintain those.
Right.
But they're more cold tolerant, and they are there, and I think are going to take a lot of the pressure off of speckled trout and other species down south, maybe snook, until things recover. Finally, out of Port Isabel, black drum are good up toward the land cut, but speckled trout and redfish can be found around the jetties and are good, and mullet. How about East Texas Lakes?
One of my favorites, B.A. Steinhagen. I love that name. You knew B.A., didn't you?
I thought you went to school with him.
Yeah, well, I know you knew the story, though. Anyway, but largemouth bass are good, as vegetation is holding most all of the bass on the outside of some deep brush. Spinners, worms, crankbaits, buzzbaits, topwaters are the best lures. Conroe, largemouth bass are great in vegetation on spinners, crankbaits, topwater, working north. Crappie are good on minnows, working surface cover, and out to a maximum depth of 6 feet. Hybrid striped bass are good on live shad as bait fish continue to school drawing activity mid-lake. Livingston. Largemouth bass are good in the back of the creeks on Carolina rig worms, spinners, and jigs shallow, searching structures and deeper portions of the lake. White bass are good on spoons just north of Highway 190. Nackanich. Largemouth bass are good casting under lily pads with active fish above 6 feet on jigs, crankbaits, and spinners. Catfish are good on dough balls, cut, and live bait. Big Lake Sam Rayburn, largemouth bass are good, working a lot of vegetation, structure, and the Angelina River on spinners, worms, and topwaters. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs, working vegetation and timber near Lavaca Creek. Toledo Bend, black bass are good as North Lake is in full spawn and South is starting as we speak. Worms have been best working the deep vegetation and deeper and clear water. Crappie are good in 4 to 6 feet on roadrunners and jigs. Athens, crappie are good with minnows and jigs in standing timber, creeks, and boat docks. Catfish are good on cut bait. Limestone, largemouth bass are good on finesse worms, crankbaits, and football jigs along ledges, creek channels, and off rocky shorelines. White bass are good with slabs near the main lake channel in 20 to 35 feet of water and in the creeks with rooster tails and small swim baits. Crappie are good on minnows and jigs around ledges, brush piles, and submerged timber. Palestine, white bass are good on rooster tails, swim baits, and spoons in the creeks. Somerville, white bass and hybrids are good with live bait, swim baits, and slabs on main lake flats, points, ridges, inlets, and creeks. Stillhouse, crappie are good on minnows and brush piles and standing timber in 14 to 28 feet of water. White bass are good on slabs off main lake ridges, humps, drop-offs, and along the dam. Tawakoni, blue cats are good on fresh cut bait and live bait. Channel cats are good on punch bait. Largemouth bass are fair on brush hogs, finesse jigs, and jerk baits. White bass and hybrid stripers are good on swim baits near ridges and humps in the main lake. Texoma, crappie are good on minnows and jigs near deep areas and boathouses, around boathouses, should I say, timber, brush piles in 18 to 32 feet of water. Whitney, white bass are good on the main lake channel with jigging spoons and slabs and creeks with rooster tails. Stripers are good with live bait along the main lake river channel, edges in 30 to 45 feet. Crappie are good with minnows and lightweight jigs in 14 to 25 feet near timber, docks, creek channels, and brush piles.
Heading to South Texas out Del Rio way, where the spawn is staying strong. Black bass are good. And continued shallow activity in coves and around steeper banks with some vegetation present. Timber and some shallow rocks are also good on jigs, spinners, and Carolina rig worms. Power Plant Lake Brawnig bass are good with vegetation close to the ends of the lakes on plastic worms, spinners, and jigs. Choke Canyon bass are good in the Frio River as well as around shallow vegetation on jigs, plastic worms, and crankbaits. Falcon Reservoir. Listen up, folks down the valley. Lots of large catches with some really big fish coming up to the surface for spawning. Bass are good in 4 to 8 feet, moving up along the edges of the spawn. It's hit its peak on Falcon and will remain so for a little while. Topwater, shaky head, soft plastics, and Senkos are all good. Alan Henry. I'm really intrigued with the report because they said fishing was fair, and normally we don't give a fair report.
Right.
But when you produce six over 13-pound share lunkers, I would say that's more than fair.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I think so.
Because there's plenty of over 8-pound bass as well. Excuse me, not Alan Henry, on Ivy. I misspoke on the lake. Alan Henry is trying to catch up with the spawn really picking up some momentum in shallow water areas.
Okay, let's hit the hill country. Okay, Canyon. Striper fishing is good along the river channel with live bait and swim baits. White bass are good on humps, flats, ridges with slabs, and creeks with small swim baits and rooster tails. Smallmouth bass are good on small swim baits, plastic grubs, small cranks in 5 to 15 feet of water along rock ledges and steep rocky shorelines. Catfish are good with prepared baits and cut bait. Medina. Black bass are good settling into the spawn. Fishing should be 2 to 10 feet of depth around creeks, vegetative areas on worms, topwater, and bass jigs. Crappie are good working into the creeks and vegetation on jigs. Travis, crappie are good on minnows in 15 to 35 feet near the docks, brush piles, and rock ledges.
On the hunting scene, I want to tell you that this portion of the program is brought to you by Silencer Central. And, you know, they ask a great question. Are you looking for a smarter and easier way of buying your silencer?
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, Silencer Central is the creator of a revolutionary process which silences headaches and hassles. Their process is simple but makes sense. It's a process that begins with paperwork but without the work and ends with Silencer Central delivering your silencer right to your front door. Folks, it really is just as easy as a phone call. A bit of an interview. They're filling out the paperwork, and it's not even like you're filling anything out. Mm-hmm. You're just talking to another shooter, another hunter.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is absolutely great. Now, if this sounds too good to be true, then find out for yourself. Learn more about Silencer Central's easy buy-in process at silencercentral.com or give them a call at 888-988-8179. That's 888-988-8179. When you call them, say, Texas Outdoor News says it's real easy. How easy is it?
We said it quietly. Yes.
Okay. All right. On the hunting scene, this Sunday, March 14th, the light goose conservation season in the West and East Zone concludes. Put away the collars for another year. Through August 31st, javelina season in the South Zone, as well as the spring year-round season in open counties with no bag limit, that's the current regulation, continues through August 31. All right, Mr. Gunn, what's it been, on or off the road?
A little bit of both. It's neat. It's the 2021 Buick Enclave Avenir all-wheel drive SUV. It's a midsize SUV. Really nice. I mean, Buick turned the corner years ago.
They fuel.
Really building some beautiful
fuel,
stuff.
Fuel, right? Not electric. Fuel.
Yes, fuel.
Okay.
Yes, gas. It uses gas.
Good.
Oh, you. Okay. Yeah, and when the lights went out a couple of weeks ago, how about charging up that electric car, friends? This thing. Anyway, enough of that. Okay, so the Buick, though, 310 horsepower V6. I mean, a lot of pep to this thing, 266 pound-feet of torque. Whole seven people. Again, for midsize, though, I just like, it's real big for midsize. Bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. I don't know how they do that. Nice 8-inch diagonal HD color touchscreen with a voice recognition. Leather-pointed seating. Power-adjustable seats for the driver and the passenger. Heated and ventilated front driver and passenger seats. Driver and front passenger lumbar support for both. So that's great for long trips. And also they have a massage seat feature. Ooh, yeah. Second row seats are also heated. Third row is a 60-40 split and total fold down for a lot of room in there. Tri-zone AC, big Bose premium audio system, active noise canceling, wireless charging, auto-heated steering wheel. I loved that a few weeks ago. Rear camera, of course, remote vehicle start. Dual outside mirrors that are power folding and heated, power lift gate, safety features, HD surround vision. I don't know how they do that. It's 360 degrees around the vehicle. The Buick Driver Confidence Plus package with intelligent auto high beams and more, adaptive cruise control, enhanced automatic emergency braking, premium suspension with continuously variable real-time damping. This thing base at 53, loaded to the gills like this one was 55, and that's a good value. These are really, really fine, solid-built cars. They're plush, they're luxurious, they ride great. 18 miles per gallon in the city, 26 on the highway. Check it out. They had ads years ago. It ain't your granddaddy's Buick. No, it's not. Check it out, the 2021 Buick Enclave Avenir. Outstanding little vehicle.
And they run on fuel.
And they run, yes, they do. They run on fuel. While you can get it.
Yes. Don't go there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go head to the coast. Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers, he's on his way.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The Sea Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Hunting seasons are upon us, and finding up-to-date information and tips are important to hunters. Texas Outdoors Journal is just that source of quality information. From proven saloon tables to experts that have etched their names in the record books, Texas Outdoors Journal is on target for hunters. The same is true about Texas Outdoors Journal fishing coverage. Whether you fish on the coast or one of our inland lakes, timely forecast information and tips from the pros sets Texas Outdoors Journal apart from the rest. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997. We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Fortified Cottonseed, a partnership forged between Texas families that have been in the agricultural and ranching industry for several decades. Fortified Cottonseed is formulated with vitamins and minerals. Fortified Cottonseed's Red Blend is a naturally high source of protein for deer, elk, exotics, cattle, and is safe for sheep and goats. It optimizes antler growth while its fat content meets energy demands for maintaining body condition and milk production with the advantage of limited intake. Fortified Cottonseed with Vitamins and Minerals Yellow Blend is specially formulated for white-tailed deer, but should not be fed to sheep or goats. The white-tailed blend is off the chart in fat, fiber, and protein. It's the most efficient and cost-effective way to feed white-tailed deer and wildlife. Folks, you need to be feeding Fortified Cottonseed.
Yep, we right know now. It works.
Not only do we know it works, but right now, given the freeze that took place, you know, the forbs, you know, have been burned. The vegetation there, mama deer are carrying those fawns. The bucks still recovering from the rigors of the rut. Plus, they're starting to put on antler, you know, the new headgear for next year.
Right.
Just so many things that so many reasons. And as we heard from John Sewell, the manager of the Harris Ranch out there in Uvalde and Kinney County.
Right.
He's gotten away from feeding anything else.
Yeah, no more protein.
Yeah, phenomenal results. Give the folks a call at Fortified Cottonseed. Go to their website. Look at the story. Great video. And then give them a call at 806-839-2122. That's 806-839-2122. We're trying to put a less than tragic spin on the Winter Festival, as we jokingly call it.
Yeah, you were dancing in the snow. I remember that.
Yeah, but you know, the neat thing is a press release that came out this week from Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Division. Right off the bat, they said at least 3.8 million fish were killed by the winter weather. That's their assessment so far. But then they made a comparison to some storms that those of us a little bit older remember. Back in 83, where 14.4 million fish were killed. The geographic extent was the entire coast. February of 89, 11.3 million were killed. Greatest extent in East Matagorda Bay, south to the lower Laguna Madre. And then in 89, were 6.2 million fish killed, with a geographic extent of the entire coast. Robin Rikers, Texas Parks and Wild Coastal Fisheries Director, real simple question here. Did we dodge a bullet, or is it still too early for y'all to really have a handle on things?
Well, it's a little early still completely to have that full handle on things, but I will say, I mean, this was a significant freeze event, certainly, and as you shared the numbers there while it's lower than those events of the 83 and 89 freeze, you know, unfortunately, when we do look at some specific areas of the coast, the magnitude of those kills, especially on game fish, spotted sea trout, seem to be, you know, in that same neighborhood of fish kills when you think about the Laguna Madre, for instance. It was certainly a significant event, and we don't want to minimize any of those past events or those events in the 2000s where people saw dead fish as well, maybe in front of their dock or in front of their house. But this one certainly ranks up there closer to those 83, 89 events.
Yeah, Robin, looking at the release myself too, though, it seemed that overall, as far as the losses, game fish had less percentage losses than the other fish. I mean, the feed, as it were,
sure,
yeah, bait fish.
Sure,
right?
And,
yeah.
And that's, you know, certainly that is what we typically see in these fish kills, mm-hmm. Whether they be by red tide or even freeze events. And you know, part of that's just the trophic level of predator-prey relationships and having so many more of those forage fish out there so that those larger fish can continue to eat and you know, grow. So that's just, you know, part of what you're typically going to see, unless for some reason the event in some way would target a larger animal in some way. You're just normally going to see those kind of percentages, though we have had some kills in the past where we documented larger impacts to larger fish, but this is kind of the normal.
All right, let me ask you, it's been my experience as a native Texan and, you know, being on the coast is we see the fish that float to the shore or on the surface, but so many of these fish we never see because they sink to the bottom. And then you all will go out and start your gill net surveys. At what point? How are you all going to take this information and quantify or try to get a handle on the true impact of what happened with this freeze?
Well, you kind of just laid it out there in a nutshell in some respects. You know, first we basically try to assess the magnitude of the event itself. And so that was the press release you were referring to yesterday where we've, you know, for the most part, that assessment has now concluded, though we'll still gather information, but for the most part, that's concluded. Then the next step is for us to continue doing our surveys at boat ramps where we look at angler catches, and that basically started the minute we were sampling right after the freeze. And we'll continue with our bag seines and our bay trawls, which are really important as well, in looking at those forage species and those other species and kind of the whole ecological impact. But then, as you suggested, our gill nets start in April and run through the middle of June, and those will be really, really important to us in determining the impacts to our game fish species.
Gotcha. Listen, we're up against the mid-portion of the program, so we need to take a break. Robin, if you would, hold on. Folks, you stick around as well as we'll continue our conversation on the impact of the 2021 freeze on the Texas coast with Texas Parks and Wild Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
At Capital Farm Credit, we handle every aspect of your financing needs.
My name's Pete Scamardo. I've been with Farm Credit for about 35 years, and when you do business with Farm Credit, you do business with people that understand agriculture.
Pete has used Capital Farm Credit to finance just about everything.
Cattle, feed, grain, and the land that we buy. It's been really great getting to know these people and being able to call them friends and not just business associates.
Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
We continue our conversation with Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers. The angling community, Robin, has already jumped on the bandwagon talking about doing catch and release. We've been promoting that for years, particularly on the larger broodstock. I know that you all will have recommendations once your survey's done, but let's look at a glimmer of hope. What shape are our fish hatcheries in? Because that normally supplements what Mother Nature provides. Now it's going to be doing somewhat of a replacement. Where are we there with our fish hatcheries?
Well, for spotted sea trout specifically, we can raise or have been raising a little over 3 million fish a year, and certainly we're trying to do everything we can this year to make sure we hopefully we've prepared ourselves this year. That's kind of on the lower end of what we'd like to have, and we're trying to prepare ourselves to actually start upping those numbers. And this year we'll do everything we can to up those numbers, and then even as we move into the next year, we'll look to try to also increase those numbers. You know, that's a trade-off for us because it means we produce less red drum, and some of the efforts we've been having with flounder may have to take a slight backseat here. But really what we hope to do is to be able to do them all and do them all very well. But we're certainly going to be focusing some on spotted sea trout, no doubt.
Yeah, Robin, how do you guys do that? And I don't mean to be facetious because Bill knows I am. That's my middle name. But I mean, what do you play mood music at the hatchery? You know, I mean, what kind of things do you guys do to increase the hatch?
Well, what we basically do is put them on temperature and light cycles, basically, to create those fish, basically to have fish when they normally wouldn't have fish, frankly, to spawn when they normally wouldn't spawn. And so we'll spawn those fish, and then we'll put those fry into the ponds, and then as soon as we can get them released into the bay systems, we'll do that. As you know, we have a world-class hatchery system. Many people from across the country come to look at our system to try to think about how they might do something like that as well, both on our inland side and our coastal side, I might say. But you know, what we do have a limitation on is just the total number of tank space that we have, and so you know, we do reach capacities that we can't raise any more for that reason. But we're certainly going to try to do our best.
What is good or bad about all the dead, decaying fish?
Well, certainly it's the natural cycle, and we all know that. And so there, you know, it's just part of the system when you have sorts of events like this. But for instance, crabs should probably do really well as they have a lot of, you know, more feed to feed on right now. So certainly that'll be something that we will watch and probably see have a little bit of an increase in the next year.
All right. Let's bring this back to the fish hatchery and have people understand the life cycle of a trout. Kind of give us a rundown of the size trout generally in the 1 to 3, you know, 4 to 5, you know, and then 7 or 8 year old fish. What are we looking at? Because that's really where we're going to be most impacted, is we're going to have kind of that age class that's going to be lost right now, right?
Correct. Or could be lost. We'll have to really try to work and figure that out. But basically, a fish, a 15-inch trout, most of those are going to be sexually mature at that point in time from a female perspective. And so, you know, they'll start bearing eggs. And for instance, a 25-inch trout is probably going to be about 5 pounds. Maybe 5 to 6 pounds. And so, and they will produce more eggs than a smaller one. But obviously, when we think about the numbers of fish out there in the 15-inch category, there's a lot more of those. And so those typically are in that 1 to 2 age range. And then, obviously, as you move further up that chain, that's when you start seeing those bigger fish.
Why is it then that we always encourage folks to keep the smaller fish because they don't produce as many eggs, but there's so many more of them? Is it just a numbers game?
Well, it is somewhat of a numbers game. There are more of them, and I think a lot of the reason people encourage that is, you know, they think about putting that trophy back so that someone else can catch that trophy. I think it's more of a qualitative issue as opposed to maybe thinking about it from a reproduction issue.
Cold-tolerant redfish, they always seem to be there. We fought so hard to save them decades ago, and here they are. Looks like they're going to kind of carry a big share of what we yet don't exactly know, correct?
Yeah, it certainly looks like they didn't take it on the chin quite as hard as spotted sea trout, or, you know, the mortality wasn't as great as with spotted sea trout. And so, you know, again, that's a recreational opportunity that's still out there, and hopefully people will be able to catch those in the numbers they've been catching them in and you know, continue to have an opportunity to get out on the bay.
Snook had expanded. We'd had so many mild winters. We know down in the Lower Laguna Madre, there's the Brownsville Ship Channel that they winter in, but we were seeing snook up in East Matagorda Bay. Any reports or indications as to how those mid-coast and northern bay areas snook fared?
Well, overall, you know, snook and tarpon and even gray snapper were less in total percentage, But as you might recall, that 2017 freeze that we had hit those species pretty hard as they had, as you say, moved their way up the coast with our bay systems warming slightly. They've kind of created a larger range, and as you said, you in fact we've even seen them as far as Sabine Lake now at this point in time. But while small in numbers, we don't know the impact of their overall populations because, of course, they just don't have as many numbers to lose.
Sure. Offshore, we didn't have the impact because we've got the entire Gulf Basin where it's kind of somewhat static as far as water temperature. But our state water, red snapper, those weren't impacted, were they?
We did see just a few of those. We saw one down near the Port Isabel Ship Channel, so it's interesting that they were that far inshore. A very small number of those, though, that showed up in the keel, and it was really down south in that Brownsville-Port Isabel area.
Timeline for y'all's gillnet survey assessment and release of information. Not trying to hold your feet to the fire, but ballpark, what are we looking at, Robin?
Well, those gill nets, you know, like I said, occur from April to June, and so just as soon as we get the final results of those in, we'll be trying to work through that information. So, you know, I'm hoping July-ish we would have that information that will add to what we know about this. But we're already starting to look back at past events and try to start doing some of the analysis based on what we've seen in past events impacts and what that might mean to our stocks today. So that work's ongoing right now. Just as soon as we finish assessment, we started that, and we'll continue with that effort and be updating our commission, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission, on those efforts, as well as you know, looking for more information as we go.
Tell you what, we're out of time. It seems like it always goes too quick, but we do appreciate you, your staff, everyone's effort in keeping us apprised and making sure that we protect our resource. Thank you, Robin Rockers.
Thank you, Bill and Harold, and your listeners. I really appreciate being here to talk to you today.
Thank you, Robin. Good information. Good job, sir. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hello, I'm Ernie Hudson. Sometimes I play a hero in the movies and on TV, but what I'm most proud of is being a hero for my four kids. I did that by beating cancer twice. And as a dad, there's nothing I wouldn't do to protect my kids from cancer. The human papillomavirus, or HPV, can cause six types of cancer. That's why every parent needs to know there's an HPV vaccine, and it can stop cancer before it starts. Girls and boys should get the vaccine at 11 or 12, and there's a catch-up option for teens and young adults. Over 40,000 new cases of HPV-related cancer will be diagnosed this year. Together, we can change those numbers. Be a hero. Call your child's doctor today and ask about the HPV vaccine. Getting tested for cancer saved my life. Getting your son or daughter vaccinated could save theirs. For more information, go to preventcancer.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest-standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports. Championing gun safety, education, and training. Creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It is time for the Outdoor Calendar on Texas Outdoor News. That means Harold's got a special deal for us.
Absolutely, and these helped Bill and I get through the winter festival, as Bill was saying. Hybrid Light, the official mobile lighting provider of Texas Outdoor News Radio, they have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, and more. The Mammoth Work Light is the finest on the planet. These products charge with a USB cord or any light source, not just the sun, any light source, and miraculously, they hold a charge for 7 years. And you can use these to charge your phone and other devices. For our listeners and friends, I got a special offer, 20% off any of their products and free same-day shipping. Just go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20 And again, that's 20% off free same-day shipping at hybridlight.com, or go to texasoutdoornews.com and just click on the Hybrid Light picture and go right to it, okay? Anyway, yes, Bill's favorite again, March 14th, Daylight Saving Time, begins at 2 a.m. I am not going to get up that early to change my clock. March 20, May 2, spring turkey season, South Zone, 54 counties. March 27, 28, spring turkey season, Youth Only, North Zone. For information, go to the Parks and Wildlife website, and then go hunting in your brand new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. It is no wonder Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 43 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. You see, Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. Nothing is tougher than Ford's F-Series. So why don't you do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what built Ford tough really means. Want to thank Texas Parks and Wildlife Coastal Fisheries Director Robin Rikers for joining us. You know, we have an event like this, and so many are quick to become armchair biologists.
Our finger pointers.
Finger pointers, right. But let's let the folks at Parks and Wildlife do their job.
Because they're great people.
And they really are dedicated, and they're not against us. They're with us.
That's right.
They're for us. And let's see what the assessment is. But you know what? The idea, this is always a good idea, mm-hmm. of releasing the bigger fish.
Sure.
And as Robert pointed out, it could be for trophy size. It could be because they produce more eggs.
Right.
Good. Yep. It just makes it. And don't forget, this state, there are more and more people pouring in here.
Yep.
License sales are up. That
right.
means there's more pressure, you know,
that's
on
right.
the resource. Okay?
And we're also all in this together. And we can all help out. Okay. Remember, we are brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Yeah, I got to bring it up, the internet. But go to TexasOutdoorNews.com, see a list of our wonderful affiliate stations. Click on Listen to the Show, and all our shows are archived there. We're also on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, iHeart, that Apple thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. iTunes area, that's it. And like us on Facebook, helps build the audience, okay? Be safe out there so you can join us again next week, same time, same station, for more Texas Outdoor News.